It is almost 3 a.m., and you know what that means. Witches, goblins, and ghouls are about to be at their most powerful, and supernatural activity is about to reach its climax, if you will.
So pull out your harnesses and strap on your broomsticks, because it's time for
the Bitching Hour.
Hey everyone, I'm Maggie, and my initials look the same if you write them upside down or right side up. They're MSW, Margaret Scott Webb.
Wow.
Yeah, so try it.
Hey everyone, I'm Mia.
Are you fucking serious? That's it? You waited weeks to do that.
That's so funny. I had to do, well, I mentioned it to you that I had to wait and see. I had to wait for you to not expect it. Just,
hey. Well, I just got played. Okay. So on this episode, we are going to be starting by telling stories of when our resting nice face, not our resting bitch face, has gotten us into some ridiculous shit. Then we're going to be talking about all about grooming this week. What we do, what we've done, and how all of it is gay perfection. Finally, we're wrapping up with a discussion on hygiene with a little mini game on bath bombs. So stay tuned for that.
Woohoo!
Hey! So for this segment, we want to talk a little bit about what it's like to have resting nice face. I know that you've all heard about resting bitch face, or the idea that women in particular will... their kind of at rest face will be kind of angry, which is obviously rooted in misogyny and the idea that women have to smile all the time. But Mia and I have a really particular beauty, which is just resting pleasantness. Just like resting, like, please say whatever you want to me.
It's annoying.
By all means.
Is what it is.
Yes, it's very annoying.
Yeah. And it presented itself as a bigger problem when I moved to Boston because there's a lot of weird people in public around each other more frequently. Mm-hmm. And people in the city are generally less friendly because they have things to do. They don't talk to each other. But here I am, like, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, like, oh, just share with me everything. And so, yeah, I mean, it was a thing before I moved here, but it's mm-hmm. definitely, like, some weirder things have happened because of it.
Oh, for sure.
And so we always complain about our resting nice faces. Mm-hmm. So we're going to share some stories with you.
So I'm going to start and just talk briefly about, I would say for me, the real kicker that makes it so terrible is not just that I have like a face that looks like someone's going to be nice and listen to you. But also when people tell me ridiculous things, I don't stop them. Mm-hmm. I just like let them keep going. I have a very hard time like telling people to shut the fuck up. So, a personal favorite of mine is that there was a time, this was actually when I was in college, but I was sitting and I was waiting for Nancy getting food and we were in the Pioneer Valley, and I ran into someone that I knew, kind of. I knew her from around school, but, like, and, we, like, we would have said hi, but, like, we weren't, like, super tight. And she came up to me, and she sat down, and we were just catching up for a second, and she started, like, going in about her relationship that she was in. And I was like, okay, like, you know, we're in college, and people do that, and fine. So she starts, like, kind of going in about it, and, like, you know, well, this isn't going well, and he doesn't like me for this, and I feel like he just doesn't like me. And I was like, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's been, like, 2 minutes. She has not asked me how I'm doing.
Right.
Whatever.
You could just not be there.
Truly. I could be a brick wall. Yeah. She then decides that it's time to unpack her parents' divorce.
Whoa.
It had been, like, 30 seconds. Like, literally, she just sat. Nancy was just, like, getting food.
Right.
I was just sitting there.
And the time that it takes.
Like, I'm like, this cannot be happening to me. And she goes, like, well, I just feel like, you know, I have, like, no example of love because my parents got divorced. And it's like, what am I willing to take for myself? And she looks at me. She goes, is this too much? And I went, no, my God, you're so, this is fine. And I was like, Maggie, stop. Just say no. Just say no.
Right.
Put your foot down.
Right.
And I was like, no, this is so fine.
Please.
Keep going. Keep going. And Nancy comes back. She's like, what the fuck?
That's the best. Like, the reaction from other people when they come back, they're like, how does this happen to you? What?
Like, who is this person?
And you're like, yes, I know.
Mia.
Oh, my God. I actually had a resting nice face situation today. It's not a very great story, but someone, like this random woman, I was walking with a friend of mine, and this random woman was like, excuse me, you! And, like, just needed help unlocking her car and, like, putting her food, like, her groceries in the car, and my friend was like, oh, you really do have that thing.
Yeah.
But the story that I actually want to tell is about a man bun. So I had gone to New York to visit our friend Allie. So I'm like walking with bags and stuff, and I'm walking to Downtown Crossing, which is like, you know, place where some weird stuff kind of happens at night. Mm-hmm. It's like a place where you're going to have stranger interactions.
Yeah. It's very people. Touristy, just for starters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm walking and this guy is on the sidewalk and he's like in like a working uniform delivering like bottled water, like packages of bottled water to some place.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird because it's like 9:30 p.m.
Okay.
So I, or a little bit earlier maybe. So I'm walking up and he's like, hey, excuse me. And I'm like, oh man, this dude's going to ask me for directions. First of all, I don't know them. Second of all, why? Because I'm like, clearly I look like a tourist because I have all these bags. He's like, excuse me. I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, hey, do you, you see these guys with like man buns? And I like look around. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, just in general. I'm like, yeah, I've seen them. He's like, what do you think of those? I'm like, I think they're cool. Sure, I think they're just buns.
Right.
But they're great. Like, I think they're great. And he's like, I think they look so stupid. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, but I tell you, I saw this guy the other day. And I said, why do you and your friends, I don't know if this guy had other friends there, as if this guy's just friends with every, like, young 20-something-year-old guy. He's like, I said, why do you and your friends have those man buns? And the guy said, well, my friends and I all grow our hair out every year, and we cut it off and donated it to kids with cancer. And the guy is like, so he tells me that, and I'm like, oh, wow. And he goes, so fuck me, right? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, that made you sound like an asshole. And he's like, yeah, but it got me thinking, do you think I should grow one? This man has, like, male pattern baldness, like, not, like, he has, like, scraggly gray hair, like, coming out of his hat. He, like, takes off his hat, and he's like, do you think I should do it? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, man, you should do it. And he's like, maybe just through the summer. Maybe at the end of the summer, I'll cut it off and see how much I got and I can donate it. And I was like, yeah, man, you should. Like, you should. And he's like, all right, well, have a good night. And I'm like, yes, I'll see you later, man. And I just, like, walked away. And I was walking away like, no one saw that happen. Like, it feels like a weird dream. I'm like, why me? What? But it was kind of a beautiful moment of this guy, you know, like, yeah. He had made a snap judgment and checked himself. And now he might be growing out his hair and looking even weirder.
And he needed to run it all by you.
Just wanted to see what I thought.
Wow.
Because there I was.
Because there you were. With your face.
Looking smiley.
Wow, I can't wait to do more of these. Because they're just going to keep happening.
Forever.
Forever.
I know.
Always.
I got to look me. I got to get a face tattoo or something.
I know. I try to scowl sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
All right.
That's enough of that. Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back.
We're going to talk about grooming.
So Maggie and I bonded pretty early on in our friendship over how much we love smells.
Mm-hmm.
We love good smelling things. I remember like when Maggie and I lived next to each other junior year, and I remember seeing all of your perfume like lined up in your room being like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we both have loved grooming. And that kind of, I don't know.
Just like large poodles. We just really like.
Just want to get our nails clipped at PetSmart. All that stuff.
So we wanted to talk, of course, about grooming and how it fits in with gender and sexuality. And also how it relates to our bodies and how we think of ourselves. So to get started, Mia, I want to ask you. What is your daily grooming routine? Like morning, God. Evening?
Non-existent, bitch. What? I smell like shit.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. My daily grooming routine is honestly, I'm pretty no frills, all thrills these days.
What does that mean?
I just like don't
just
do a
masturbate
lot.
And
I just masturbate and I just leave the house like that. That's it. It's just like just enough to put a touch of pink in my cheeks and I'm out. So I have short hair again, which means that I do less to my hair, but I feel like I have to wash it more wet it more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely am doing that. I'm using this soap, you know, the brand Method, which makes like dish soap. They make a body wash.
What scent is it?
It's just called like clean. It might be dish soap. I'm kidding.
Okay, but like it might be.
I have verified that it's body wash. But it's just, it just smells like, it's like some bullshit that's like ocean or, you know, like there's just like blue smell. Rainfall. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So it just smells like really clean. It smells kind of cotton, like that kind of smell. Mm-hmm. And I typically wash my face every morning. I exfoliate pretty frequently because I have kind of dry skin. Mm-hmm. And I use Cetaphil moisturizer. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm rocking yesterday's makeup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it varies widely. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm really on it. I'm like using toner and shit. And then other days my face might be crumbling off. It might be just
like Voldemort.
It might be dark sarcophagus. So I'm using this dark sarcophagus serum these days.
Just really good. Let them drink it. Do you shower at night or in the mornings typically?
Either. Whenever I'm feeling stinky.
Okay.
Mostly during this program, I shower at night because I don't want to be wet and cold in at like 5 a.m.
Fair.
But if my hair did something weird in the night, I have to.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I'm one of those people who will sleep until the last possible second and then get ready in 5 minutes and leave the house. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of just like, okay, do I look like the undead? Mm-hmm. If not, we're good to go. Throw on some Old Spice.
What about going out, though? Like, what's your makeup? Like, if you're doing your face, what do you do?
If I'm doing my face, it's... So, I'm using a foundation right now. Should I go into all of this right now?
Sure. I mean, why the fuck not? Also, if we don't like it, we can just take it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right now, I'm using... I've been using Laura Mercier foundation.
Oh, bitch! My mom uses Laura Mercier! Yeah.
It's... Oh, wait, no. No, I'm not. I'm not using Laura Mercier. Sorry. Oh. I used to.
Liar.
I'm using... right now I'm using Bare Minerals foundation and it's great, but I hate it because I recently went to a Sephora to buy more. I've used it for like 4 or 5 years and I tried a sample of like a Fenty, like the Fenty, mm-hmm. Like the new foundation that Rihanna came out with like a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. and it was so much better, but they didn't have my color in stock, so I just bought more of the Bare Minerals kind that I've been using forever. Now I'm trying to, I like put way more than I need on because I'm trying to go through it so I could go buy the Fenty one.
You're like, oops, got too much on the brush, have to throw it away.
Oh yeah. Oops, I just squeezed it down the toilet. But it's fine.
The Fenty's really good.
It's so nice. It's like a little bit like more coverage. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I feel like it matches my, like it evens out my skin tone. It's just, it's perfect. And so I got a little sample of it. So I wore it for like 2 weeks and it was like a dream. Anyways, then I throw on a little bit of bronzer, a little blush. I'm just using some bullshit for that. Probably like e.l.f. Mm-hmm. brand. And, you know, always got to have the eyebrows done.
Yeah. What do you do for your eyebrows?
I just use a pencil and it has like a spoolie. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Little thingies.
Yeah. Comb thing.
Yeah.
On the other side. So I just like comb them out. And I just fill them. I have a split in my left eyebrow, so I sometimes fill that in. Sometimes I don't.
Elise really likes it. I kind of like my split, yeah.
Yeah, Elise like, oh, models have that. So I was like in high school, I'd be like embarrassed about it. She'd be like, no, models have that. I was like, oh.
Damn, that's a real best friend.
I know, right? your ugly eyebrow is cute.
Do you shape your own eyebrows? Do you get them shaped?
I used to get them waxed, but it was awful, and I cried every time, and then people would make fun of it. They'd be like, do you need a tissue? Like, all the people who work there always make fun.
That's kind of fucked. It's like, you guys know how much this hurts.
But for a lot of people, it doesn't. A lot of people are like, oh, whatever, my eyes are fucking puffy, like I got stung by bees for hours. Now I just do them myself. I bought a nice pair of tweezers, and I just do them myself. Sometimes I wear lipstick, sometimes I don't. Sometimes recently I haven't been wearing mascara. I've been doing eyeshadow and no mascara, which is a vibe. All right, how about you, Maggie?
my grooming is pretty much always the same all the time, no questions about it. I am very particular about when and how I do things. So I shower every single morning without fail. And I wash my hair every single morning. I know it's not good for me. There was like a period of my life when I like had dyed my hair, and so I didn't wash it all the time. I only wash it like every other day or every 3 days, and it looked a lot better, but it feels really good to shower in the morning, so whatever.
It feels so good.
And like really get my hair wet. And I I do wear makeup every day. I used to wear a lot more makeup than I do now, but I've gotten to a point where I can do it, like, pretty quickly. I still wear cover-up and, like, a powder foundation every day, so it's light. There's, like, not a ton of coverage, but it's enough to, like, get the job done. And I wear bronzer every day, too, just a little bit. I still use CoverGirl pressed powder.
CoverGirl!
Because the base is in my wok.
Clearly.
Yeah. And it's really pretty straightforward, but I've used the same, the only, like, fancy makeup that I use at all is that I don't wear a lot of bronzer every day, so I can, like, it can last for a super long time, and I get the Benefit Hoola bronzer, because when I was in high school, I was swimming all the time, and I wore a swimming cap, and it, like, to wear it comfortably for me racing, like, obviously having it on really secure and, like, doing well in my race was more important to me than, like, how my tan line was going to turn out. But it also meant that I had, like, a full-on, like, cap tan line across the middle of my forehead. Like, when I say it was gross, like, it had, like, I had, like, a white rectangle
along the top of my forehead. That makes sense.
It was so much. And I remember before my senior photo, my mom was like, "We're not doing this. Like, we're going to do something about this. Like, it just doesn't have to be this way."
You just stuck half your head in a tanning bed.
And we went into, like, a Benefit. Like, we went to the Benefit counter. A woman did it for me. She used that product. And in my mind, that is the only bronzer that I will ever wear now for the rest of my life.
I think that's really common for a lot of people. They're like, this is the one that's worked, and that's it.
Yeah, this woman saved me, and that was it.
Saved your life.
And when I go out occasionally, it took me a long time to get back into it. But as of, like, this year, I've started wearing, like, silver eyeshadow when I go out. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I wear a lot of, like, different colored eyeliner. Like, I'll wear, like, blue eyeliner or, like, silver eyeliner or something like that. I don't wear, like, a lot of eye makeup. And I'll wear mascara sometimes. But it's just if I'm, like, really feeling it. If I'm kind of feeling, like, David Bowie, single hoop earring, like, weird jacket. I'm like, why not take it all the way there, you know?
Yeah, so you and I have talked about this before, about Cameron Esposito, actually, and the way that Cameron talks about, like, femininity, and that you kind of feel similarly about that. Will you talk about?
Yeah.
That with the David Bowie, like...
I guess first off, just as a... So, okay, I heard Cameron Esposito talk about this and was like, oh my God, like, someone actually, like, feels that way about getting dressed. Like, someone, it was such a relatable thing to, like, hear her talk about this, because sometimes it feels like it's not really, I think it's a more common phenomenon among, like, masculine of center women than we think. I will also say that David Bowie is the person that she chooses to talk about, and it, like, it makes for a very easy cultural reference. I don't love David Bowie. There's, like, some pretty gross stuff that has come out about, like, his sexual misconduct and, like, assault of young girls. So, like, you know, putting that out there, that he's not really my style icon for more reasons than just that.
Right.
But yeah, so that's what Cameron Esposito has talked about, is the concept is, like, feeling masculine and, like, feeling like you are, like, still in, like, whatever that means, like, obviously, what the fuck is masculinity anyways, but, like, you're taking that kind of energy and that kind of look and that kind of, like, self-perception, but you, and the way in which you're using femininity is much more, I wouldn't say it's more ironic, as if, like, femme women can't use femininity in an ironic way, because that's not the point. But it's more that, like, when I present femininity these days, I want it to come across more like a gay man, or like a kind of femininity that is, like, very, very queer and very gender bending and very, like, you know, there's, like, no doubt, like, I like it when it's even more confusing, as opposed to just being like, oh, okay, so that's a woman with short hair.
Right. It almost makes me, like, the phrase I keep thinking about is dressing up, or, like, dress up. That it's like, performative doesn't feel right, because performative kind of invokes all this other, the way we talk about drag queens, the way we talk about drag kings, the way we talk about gender. Judith Butler.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. but it's about, like, to me, it is kind of about, like, performance. It's about, like, playing up and having fun with something. Like, it's very vibrant and fun and, like, costumey, not in a caricature way, but in, like, in a way that's, like, I'm kind of recognizing that this is outlandish.
Yes. It's almost, like, an honest way. Like, that's the way I like to think about it, is that, like, I know who I am. I know what kind of circles I like to run in. I know what I like to do. And I know the way that the world thinks about gender and likes to kind of to sell it in mainstream media. And so for me, it's, I like the kind of honesty of being like, yeah, no, this is like the fruity in all of the ways that it has been used as a slur and reclaimed. Like, that's exactly what this is. Like, I just want it to be fruity.
I'm checking that box.
Like, that's the goal. The goal is to look like totally. Too much.
Yeah. And it's so fun. And it, like, you kill it when you do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you feel about kind of the, because you've talked about on the show before, you've talked about like going back and forth between feeling like, am I grungy femme? Am I hard femme? Am I soft butch? Like, what is my, how do you feel about that going out?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. And I think this is something that I want to talk about when we talk about getting dressed in clothes. And I'm sure that we'll do that much more in the next episode too.
Yes.
Spoiler. but I definitely feel like it's like, sometimes it's a struggle. I sometimes feel like it's a struggle that can be solved at some points. Sometimes it feels like it can be resolved by knowing where I'm going. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to a really straight space, sometimes I'm like, I just want to not draw attention. I just want to look like a, whatever, just like a regular ass woman who people are going to assume is straight or not or whatever, but it's fine. And then sometimes I'm going into a queer space, and depending on what kind of queer space I'm going into, I'm like constantly fighting with myself of like, what do I want to look like? And I remember, I remember feeling like really invalid as a queer woman for not being able to put myself in a box of like, okay, I'm this kind of lesbian. That I kind of toe this line of like, well, sometimes I look femme and sometimes I look not so femme, but not necessarily butch. And sometimes, you know, that that I felt like I needed to be one thing because then I would know who to date. And it's like, you know, obviously like femme relationships and butch relationships just blew my mind after that.
But how do they have sex?
But what, who does what? Which is so stupid.
Who drives the car?
Exactly. So stupid. And I think, like, obviously, as I've gotten older and become more comfortable with myself, I've kind of been like, okay, first of all, that's so many misconceptions in what I was just talking about. But also that it's okay, that it's, like, a really pleasurable thing to be able to tap into those different, identities, depending on how I'm feeling. And that also, for me, like, I very strongly identify as a woman, and, like, that identity is really empowering to me. And so the fact that there is, and I identify really strongly with femininity. And so the fact that when I'm dressing kind of butch or when I'm like, you know, pulling off a soft butch look, that there's still so much femininity in that is what brings me pleasure. But it can make getting dressed and putting on makeup and deciding if I want to wear makeup a really frustrating thing.
Yeah.
Like the act of it.
Yes. Oh, incredibly frustrating. You know, I think something that's interesting is that we talk a lot, like society talks a lot about like, okay, so we have to think of like masculinity and femininity on a spectrum now. Like everyone's super into the idea of like sexuality being a spectrum and gender being a spectrum. And I think it's really great that we've like adopted those terms a little bit more mainstream. But I think it's also like very literally two-dimensional to say that like masculinity and femininity exist on a spectrum, because it implies that like, A, there is something as masculine or feminine in the first place.
Right.
But also that like, that those things are not like totally like made dynamic by all of these other things that are going on. So if you think about like the words butch and femme, like, you know, we talked in the butch and femme episode in the first season about like what those words means and like being really particular about the history of them. But at the same time, the origin of those words are in the 40s and 50s. And the way that women were expected to dress in the 40s and 50s is really different than it is now.
Right. A very femme-presenting woman now would be considered wearing too many articles of masculine clothing at that point.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like wearing jeans and a t-shirt is not feminine for those standards.
And so it's like, and we know that like class and race also really, really play into like what our standards are. Because I have found, I mean, I totally agree with you that there are times when I play much more like traditional, like I'm just going to go hard butch. Particularly I'll do that if Nancy's not coming with me to something and I kind of just want to be left alone because people leave me alone more. But I also know that like sometimes like femininity, as much as it can be really, like used against you, can also be really powerful. Like I can get what I want
right
in like playing into my femininity sometimes. So it's, you know, it's, But I find that my body is often like a site of that discomfort of making that decision.
Oftentimes I feel this kind of tug in these directions of like, what's going to make me most comfortable? And so sometimes too, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to wear a wing because I don't want to be like hyper femme. And it's mm-hmm. so these minute decisions about getting ready. Mm-hmm. It's like, who the fuck is really looking at my eyelids like that?
Right.
You know, like no one else is paying that much attention to my body mm-hmm. as I am. So I do feel like I change things kind of depending on my mood and depending mm-hmm. on, which is like probably how most people dress anyways. Right. It's just that there's more decisions because I'm wearing clothes and wearing makeup and wearing, you know what I mean? Like how right. I'm doing my hair. Like there's all these other kind of modifiable factors.
And it's loaded too, because even if like you could be wearing wings and still have someone read you more on the like a butcher end of a queer spectrum, or you could be wearing like what you would consider like a totally soft butch outfit and someone could be like, oh, this femme, you know? Right. So like sometimes it's completely irrelevant, but it's still like it feels like those, it can be so crushing, those mm-hmm. judgments of like, oh, well, you're this. And no. you're like, oh,
wait a sec.
I could die.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And also sometimes I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I have to like check myself and be like, wait, but there's bigger problems going on.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. So I do think that that decision-making process surrounding grooming and stuff is like something that I constantly am like navigating. That doesn't feel like the right word. Like something that I'm constantly, I don't know, just like considering and reconsidering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So something that I mentioned in the beginning of the episode was smells, that Maggie and I both love smells. And I mean this as far as like, we loved our rooms to smell good. Mm-hmm. We like love when other people smell good, like when someone walks by and they smell really good. Mm-hmm. In college, I wore a perfume called Dirt. Mm-hmm. It smelled so good, but it never stayed on very long, so I had to apply it all the time. Now I wear a perfume that's called Nirvana. Mm-hmm. And it's by the Olsen twins. It's for their line, Elizabeth and James, which mm-hmm. are their two other siblings' names. Fun fact. And one time I was at Sephora with some of our friends from college, and I sprayed it on myself just because I was like bored walking around the store. I was like, oh my God, I fucking hate this. This smells so bad. And then later that day, I kept smelling it on myself. And you know how like perfume and cologne, as they mix with your body's chemistry, smell different? Mm-hmm. So as it was like on my body, it started to smell so good. And I was upset, and I was just smelling it all night. So like mm-hmm. the next day I went and I bought it, and I've been wearing it for like 2 or 3 years since then. Mm-hmm. It's like, what I love about it is that it's not really floral, but it's still very feminine. Mm-hmm. It's like dark and vanilla and musky and kind of musky.
Yeah.
Is that the right
musty.
Word? Musky.
Not musty. Musty yeah, is like old books.
Yeah. I'm like, do I smell like a basement or do I smell sexy? It's musky. But it's very kind of like, it's just like really deep and not really like light and airy and floral, which I think a lot of perfumes are. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And then I wear Old Spice. I forget what kind of Old Spice I'm not picky really. I'm like, do my armpits smell like a boy? Do my boys smell like armpits? Always. So that's something that I really like is, and I love how many lesbians wear Old Spice.
I really do love it. I wear Old Spice. Obviously. I wear multiple kinds of deodorant.
But. So, I know you usually have, like, an array of perfumes and colognes.
I do, yeah.
What are you wearing?
So, I don't actually remember what I'm wearing today. But, what I've tried to do with smells, like, it can be so comforting and so relaxing for me to smell good. Like, it is, like, a way that, like, I kind of, like, will ground myself in a sensory way. Mm-hmm. And so, I recognize that when I also recognize that, like, I know that I can make spaces not really comfortable to be in if I have, like, over-scented myself to the degree that I would like to. And, like, for people, like, they just make spaces inaccessible. And so that is something that I've, like, really tried to be more conscious of mm-hmm. in my perfume and cologne obsession.
Yeah.
So
and, like, scent-free spaces.
Yeah.
Even times when I know I'm going to be on the bus during, like, rush hour or, like, when I go to school a lot of the times, I'll wear deodorant because that's kind of subtle enough that...
Right.
But I will, like, abstain from wearing perfume when I'm going to be in a lot of public places.
But what I really like is to have a bunch of different ones to choose from mm-hmm. depending on the, like, on the day. And so I like really, really floral stuff, like mm-hmm. roses and lily and jasmine and, like, that kind of smell. But I also really do like a deep, musky... Like, I have one right now. I got a gift card to this fancy ass soap place called Aesop.
Oh.
AESOP. Mm-hmm. Aesop. however you pronounce it. And I got a new roll-on cologne, which is called Marrakesh Intense. And it's basically just kind of like sandalwood and musky. And the person working there was like, she was like, this is like supposed to take you to like the Moroccan city of Marrakesh. And I was like, oh, cool. I've been to Marrakesh. And she was like, did it smell like this? I was like, no.
No, it's a city. So it didn't.
It smelled like a fucking
gasoline
city.
Gasoline and trash. And
like people. And also like when you stand next to flowers in Marrakesh, it smells like flowers. And when you stand next to a food cart, it smells like food. So like.
It's a city.
Please shut up.
Right. It's a place. You can't really smell like it, the entire place. I do love roll-on. That's what I use.
Yeah.
And I do feel like that kind of helps with smelling overly so. Like, I think smell is such a, I mean, obviously, it's so fucking basic, but, like, pheromones and stuff. Like, smell is such an attractive thing. Mm-hmm. And I love the smell of people's body odor, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the smell of a basement punk show in Western Mass.
Oh, you do. Where you can just,
everything's, like, a little bit dank.
Oh. You and I don't have that in common.
I like bad smells as much as I like good smells, too.
I mean, I like
sewage, vomit, like, all that Just kidding. But I'm gonna put my perfume on right now.
I like body odor as in, like, I think Nancy doesn't smell bad when she comes back from the gym.
Right.
Like, I think it's kind of hot. But, like, you know, that's about it on that. But you know what? To each their own, because I think gasoline smells good, so.
I do, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think gasoline smells good. Wait, we got to talk about grooming. It's,
I know.
I dab a little bit of gasoline right on my pulse points.
So, okay, moving out of sense a little bit, but yes. Obviously sense go into everything, because when people are like, oh, what shampoo do you use? I'm like, it has nothing to do with the chemical makeup. It is just how good it smells.
Yes.
Yes. Hair. Let's talk hair. Hair is a huge.
Yes.
Queer deal. Also, it's not a huge deal at all. So
I know.
We got both of those. Let's talk head hair first.
Okay. I have so much hair.
Yo. Oh, that smells good. Mia just put perfume on and it just came over to me. It's so nice.
So I have so much fucking hair and I've done a lot of wild shit with my hair.
Yes.
I was born with like 2.5 inches of jet black hair that stood straight up. I will definitely post a picture to Instagram.
Yes.
It was my, and I was born with it. And I guess my dad was watching me be born and was like, what the fuck is coming out of my wife? And they were like, that's a lot of hair. And then it got lighter and it's just really thick and there's a ton of it. I didn't always have really long hair, but I primarily had pretty long hair. In college, I started dyeing my hair for the first time. I bleached it. I had it silver and blue and pink and purple. And
well, that pink was so good.
The pink was my favorite. I loved the pink. Good. It was really fun. And it was nice because since it was bleached and I was dyeing it these pastel colors, it would fade really quickly. Mm-hmm. And then I could just do something else. Then I cut it all off. Then I grew it out for about 2 years. Then I recently cut it all off again and dyed it darker. And now it's kind of darker.
Yeah.
But I was cutting my hair myself the first time it was short, which is really fun. I've been going to a barber, Maggie and Nancy's barber, actually.
Woo!
Which is really nice.
Oh, on that note, so I went to the barber 2 days ago, yesterday, to see Akil is our barber. You should go. Sal's Barbershop in JP.
Amazing.
So good. Unbelievable. So nice. You have to ask for Akil specifically. Mm-hmm. He rocks. He mentioned you when I got my haircut the other day. He was like, there was someone in this week that knew you. I was like, oh, is it Mia? He was like, yeah, she's great. She's very nice. I was like, I know, she's the best. He was like, there was another woman who came in this week. I was like, who's that? And Nancy, like, was, like, walking in. She was like, I just went to the hardware store. She's like, oh, I told Eliana to go here, too. So you just got to get, we were chatting with him about, like, how many of our friends that we, like, we refer to him. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, I actually have a lot of clients who are women. And I just want you guys to feel comfortable. Oh. Like, I know that, you know, I mean, you know how men can be. Like, sometimes the barber isn't a great place. I was like, right. I do know that, yes. Akil. Yeah, it's can be really shitty.
It can be really shitty.
He was like, I just want you guys to feel comfortable and, like, you can really talk to me about it and stuff. And I'm just like, you have no idea
how much how we talk many about.
Dykes are obsessed with you.
Yes. He really is amazing. And he's so handsome. He looks like he could play, like, a secret agent in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
So hot.
Or he's just, like, a hot dad.
Yes. He's just, and he's, like, really, like, it's a great experience because he does a really fucking good job.
Yeah.
Like, he cares, and it's so, like, you just feel like you're kind of, like, indulging. Mm-hmm. You look, like, sharp and sexy. Like, so, talking about hair and haircuts, obviously, the, like, what kind of, like, am I femme and myself, but like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that more recently I've kind of been like, okay, bitch, you are femme.
Right. You can have short hair and be femme.
Right. Like, it's... And I think that when I was cutting my hair off a couple of months ago, I was kind of craving feeling really feminine. Mm. And I feel really feminine when I have short hair. Mm-hmm. When I have short hair, that's just like crisp and tight and clean and just kind of like allows me to kind of ball out with what else is going on with my look. Mm-hmm. That feels really good to me.
Yeah.
It feels very strong, which I think of as a feminine trait. Mm-hmm. So that feels really good. Mm-hmm. Although I do miss having long hair sometimes, and one of the key reasons that I miss it is because it feels so good when someone plays with long mm-hmm. hair. Mm-hmm. So
I miss putting my hair up. I haven't had long hair in a long time, but I really do miss putting it up in a bun.
Yeah.
That feeling of, like, pulling off your neck is really good.
I didn't get all the way to being able to do, like, proper, like, top bun. Mm-hmm. But it was nice having, like, a little pony and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you ever grow your hair out again?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna generally, like, I'm kind of wanting to grow out most of the top mm-hmm. and kind of keep, like, a little bit of an undercut situation. But I really liked the growing out process, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, people never
what?
Say that. because I was cutting my own hair, so I would just, like, keep the back really short, and I actually didn't find it that painful mm-hmm. to grow out. Like, the most painful part was when it was all growing and it was just a really short bob. Mm. That was the part that I was most annoyed at really? Because the progress felt so slow. Mm-hmm. And when it was growing out from really short to like that, to like ear length, mm-hmm. it was, I had a different hairstyle like every 2 weeks because I would right. shift it some way. And I like gave myself a bowl cut for a while. Like I just mm-hmm. was experimenting so much and it didn't really matter because it was changing so frequently. Mm-hmm. But when it got kind of to my ears, I was like, okay, I just look like a little kid for like months and months and months. And then it was pretty badass right before I cut it off. It was kind of just like bad. Wild, which mm-hmm. is like, and I think that's something too that I miss sometimes about my hair is that felt like such a part of my identity was having this kind of like wild hair. Mm. And that sometimes when it's like really short and kind of clean, sometimes I feel like a poser, I feel like an imposter.
That's so interesting. I have very, very, very straight hair. I have relatively fine hair too. And mm-hmm. I used to have it like down to my waist in high school and it was very flat. Like I have always had super, super flat hair and dry because I was swimming too. Mm-hmm. So when I got to college, I like did some messy bobs and I like fucked around for a while. But when I cut all of my hair off and then like when I really started cutting it the way I wanted it to, it took about a year for me to find a good, for me to like knock it off with the like weird Fault in Our Stars type haircut thing that she rocks, you know, right. which is like, okay, cool.
Like a Disney
yeah.
supporting boy.
Yeah. It was like not a look for me. For other people, great, but not me. So yeah, by the time once I really, really started like getting down to like barber style haircuts, I was like, oh, like this is like, my hair is thicker. Like it, mm-hmm. it feels and looks thicker. Like it feels better. It is like mm-hmm. what I've always wanted to do with my hair. It's like So, you know, it took a while to get there, but I love it. I considered growing it out, like, a couple months ago. I was like, I'm even just going to grow it out to, like, young Leonardo DiCaprio length.
That'd be amazing.
I went, like, maybe 2 weeks, and I was like, I can't do it!
I know, there is something, too, that's so satisfying about cutting your hair off.
Oh, yeah.
So, as we're talking about kind of, like, owning that haircut and getting mm-hmm. it to cooperate, let's talk about hair products.
Yeah.
I'm actually not using any hair products right now.
That's unbelievable to me.
Because my hair will, it's so heavy mm-hmm. that it often will stay in whatever direction I kind of pull it in. Mm-hmm. I do miss, I've bleached my hair, even the part that's still on my head, it has been, like, bleached and dyed and shit. So I've lost a lot of, like, curliness and waviness that my hair has. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know how people's hair always gets curlier the shorter they cut it? I think my curl pattern is just, like, later in my hair, so my hair, the shorter that it is, actually the less curly it is. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely also like just from being damaged, it's just kind of straighter now. Mm-hmm. So I definitely miss that, and I miss it kind of like springing off of my head in a million directions. But I most of the time don't use, like, if I really want to slick it down or if I am applying a lot of heat to it, then I'll like put like heat protect in or I'll do some like oil and stuff like that. But I don't typically put hair product in my hair.
That is amazing to me. I made this joke earlier this weekend that if the Fab Five were going to make me over from Queer Eye, Jonathan would be like, okay, honey, you are working an amazing guinea pig realness and I'm feeling it, but we can work on these cowlicks because my hair is so fucking flat and I have so many cowlicks that it is like, Nancy calls it chicken hair. Like, my hair's just so soft.
It's
like,
so soft.
And I'm not going to fucking complain about that because it's so easy to manage. Like, it is so, like, you know, so many hair products, like, work well for me. So, like, obviously I can't fucking complain about that. Does it look ridiculous in the morning? Oh, my God. It will, like, I have to wash it every, like, I cannot sleep on it without then washing it afterwards. Like, it will not, there's no amount of product in the world that will make it go back down. It is so stupid.
But your hair is, like... You've got it down. That's a thing.
Oh, I've worked on this method for a very long time.
Yeah.
A very, very long time.
And it always looks...
Thank you so much.
So good.
How do you feel about... So one thing that I find myself uncomfortable with that I do in like, looking at other queer women and kind of, like, reading other women as queer is that, like, it is still an active... Even as I spent so many years being a very, very femme-presenting queer woman, I still have to work really hard to not assume that hair has anything to do with queerness or is, like, the pinnacle of queerness. That, like, totally. I still see women with short hair, and I, like, I know innately that I'm, like, not innately, that implies that there's something biological. I'm, like, I'm so in my head about, like, oh, if she has short hair, it's more likely she's gay. That's just not true. I know it's not true.
Right.
Logically, I know it's not true.
Yeah.
But it's so, like, it is, like, an active process to make myself be, like, stop it! Stop it!
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I remember we were talking about this when I cut off my hair. Because we were talking about how at historically women's colleges, that there's this big thing, like, the chop. Like, the Smith chop, or the Moho chop, or whatever, of, like, cutting your hair off, and, like, that's somehow, like, your fucking coming out moments. Like, so annoying.
Right.
Or, like, people talk to you about cutting your hair off. People make comments, like, it's, like, a big deal if you cut your hair all off.
Right.
And that as an adult, when I just cut my hair off a couple of months ago... No one gave a shit. I mean, most of the people that I see, like, in large, like, on the bus, I don't know any of those people. They don't know that I just cut my hair off. You know, like, when I am taking the bus in Western Mass when I was in college, I knew a lot of the people on the bus.
Right.
Like, I was around larger groups of people that I knew most of them. So now it's like, you know, but I felt like there wasn't this, I didn't feel like I was visibly more queer suddenly as an adult when I cut my hair off. It didn't, because, like, people do that all the time and it doesn't.
Right.
But that being said, Maggie has described me before as a person that there's never a question about my queerness.
Yeah.
That I just, like, read kind of gay.
Yeah.
To begin with. So maybe
I also assume that all people are gay unless they tell me that they're not.
Proven otherwise.
You know, like almost always, if anyone has a question of, like, oh, I don't know, I'm always like, well, they're gay.
Yeah.
And it's like, Maggie, you can't just assume everyone's gay.
Yeah. No, but totally. But that being said, my type is long-haired butches. So,
what are you gonna do with that?
I
don't know. I think, like, for me too, I was not read as queer for a long time when I was presenting really femme, and that also included when I had short hair. Like, I spent a good year and a half of having short hair and still being read as femme, still presenting as femme, still wearing a lot of makeup. Like, it was really, like, it took me wearing, like, men's clothes and having, like, you know, like, a barber shop haircut and not wearing any eye makeup ever, and also being kind of angry looking all the time for people to now no longer ever think I'm straight. So I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you know, it's, I know better. Like, I know it. Like, there are so many people who are, like, so close to me, including myself sometimes. Like, like, hair is not the defining feature of masculinity and femininity.
Right.
But it is, like, we can get so hung up on it. What about body hair?
I was just going to say that. So, personally, I hate having armpit hair.
Really?
I find it just, and it's not even, like, it's itchy or anything. I just, okay, no. I don't hate having armpit hair. I love having no armpit hair.
Yeah.
I love how it feels to just have these, like, free little pits getting a breeze.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not into having armpit hair because of how it physically feels.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I also enjoy the feeling of a smooth armpit. That's also one of the few things, like, I mean, like, it's all really in relevant range. Like, I have blonde hair and most of my body hair is blonde. So, like, I don't kind of the social stakes of like what it means for me to grow my body hair long is a little bit different. So I do want to recognize that. But also of the things that have been ingrained in me that I have not been able to shake, women shaving their armpits is, I have had a really hard time. I still do shave my armpits.
Do you find that just for you, or do you find that like with, like, are you attracted to shaved armpits?
No. I am.
It's like, because I really prefer shaving my armpits, but I love when women have hairy armpits.
Oh, I find it to be actively sexy.
Me too.
When women have hairy armpits.
Yeah.
For sure. It is just, no, with myself, and it's a smell-related thing. It's a smell-related thing for me, because in my head, for some reason, like, in middle school or something, I got the idea that I smelled bad, that, like, I had a lot of BO, which I didn't.
I did.
But I really thought I did.
I sweat so much as a kid.
I sweat a lot as a kid, too. I just, like, didn't have the worst. I put deodorant on, like, 6 times a day. I don't really know why I thought I had a BO problem.
But I think I did smell.
But I associated, like, not shaving your armpits, like, with me not shaving my armpits with smelling worse, and now it's very hard to shake.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions with that. I mean, we've talked, too, about just, like, the ways that people talk about fatness, the ways that people talk about body hair, like...
Yeah.
About, like, racial identities and stuff can be really, really fucked up. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think, obviously, that's really fucked up, but I think that it's important, too, to recognize that, like, these things are socially learned.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And, like, and I think it's so important. It's so important to look at how particularly body hair and cleanliness, and as cleanliness pertains to smell, is still so ingrained. I think it's also, I think it's, we do such a disservice, too, though, when we, like, turn around to women who do shave their legs and women who do, like, wear a lot of deodorant and say, like, you don't have to do that, you know? Like, you're just suppressing yourself.
And right. It's just as fucked up to, like, tell someone that they have to have a bush as it is to tell someone that they...
That it's gross to have a bush.
That it's gross to have a bush.
That took me so motherfucking long to get over that one, too.
And I think that that's something that queer women do a lot.
What?
To each other.
Oh, is police each other's... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You're not as feminist. You're not as...
Right.
Whatever, in touch with yourself or with queerness or whatever the fuck.
Right.
If you still prefer to do these things this way.
Also, like, to us, at us, like, isn't it, like, always fucking white women who are turning around and saying, you're not really feminist if you don't do this.
If XYZ.
And it's like, fuck off, dude.
Right.
Like,
you're not really feminist if you're wearing a fucking pink pussy hat. Gotta tell you. Take that and flush it down the toilet. And I think it's awesome when things like body hair... I think body hair is something we think of as a key example of it, but I think that wearing makeup, I think that the way that you dress, the way you do your hair, whatever, all can be things that are, like, subversive statements.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the power in that.
Right, exactly. And it also has so much to do with, like, particularly around things like body hair, the idea of trans femininity and what we police and don't police. Like, I think it's super important to talk about it also in terms of, like facial hair.
Which is fueled, really, by people thinking that if you identify as a trans person, you need to want hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
You need to want to change physically. And for a lot of people, that's not the case.
Right.
So I think that some people want to have facial hair and they're still women.
Right. Exactly. And I think that is one
whether
of the...
Whether they're trans or not.
Right. And But I think that's exactly it. I mean, that's one of the, like, kind of long-term real bummers of particularly, like, lesbian communities is that often can be very exclusionary to say that, like, okay, well, like, we as cis women are going to reclaim the idea of, like, not bleaching a mustache or, like, not, you know, plucking chin hairs or not shaving.
Right.
But if a trans woman wants to do that, that's, like, not allowed.
Right.
And, like, it's completely excluded. And so I think that, I mean, I think that there's, like, some kind of deep implications of this, not just, like, as queerness relates to a larger mainstream straight world, but also, like, as we interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay, so final question that I think could be interesting to talk about is, how have your grooming patterns changed since you came out? I mean, we've talked a little bit about this just kind of in the course of talking about other things and how we used to do things, but are there any, like, big changes in the ways that you take care of yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think when I was growing up, I've always put a lot of effort into, like, personal grooming. Like, I and a lot of effort, I don't mean that like, oh, I care so much about it. Like a lot of like, I've been kind of obsessive about it for a very long time and like very, very nervous about how it's going to be perceived. And, but in high school, it had a lot more to do with things like, I still have almost as much acne as I did in high school. I mean, I had a lot more and it was like harder to manage then, but like, it's not like it's gone, but I was so much more worried about like what that meant about me and how people were going to see me. I was so much more worried about like, I just wanted to be fuckable. Like, that's all I wanted was to be fuckable. And it's not that I don't want that now, but now I want it, like, as an adult person who, like, deserves to have, like, really nice, affirming sexual experiences with other people and also, like, go to work and do other things, too.
Right.
As opposed to just being, like, if men don't find me beautiful, I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that some of those things have changed. So, like, I do a lot less, like, obsessively... Like, I used to go into the bathrooms and, like, refix and recover up and refix and recover up zits all day in high school. I was like, how the fuck did I get anything done? Like,
right, that's exhausting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think it's interesting because my experience is, we were talking about this right before I think we started recording, which is, like, I wear a lot more makeup than I did in high school, and you wear a lot less makeup than you did in high school. And I think for me, you know, I was always kind of a tomboy and stuff. And so, and I think part of it was, like, a rejection. I, like, thought the boys that I went to school with were so stupid. so I, like, was like, I'm going to meet, like, a cool artsy boy, and that's, like, he's going to get me. And so I kind of, like, rebelled against all of the girls at my school who were very into makeup and looking really put together. And I would, like, fucking roll into school on my longboard with my hair, like, a rat's nest on my head.
An icon, Mia. You're an icon.
I didn't pluck my eyebrows until like junior year of high school. Like I just like didn't really give a shit in a lot of ways and kind of was, and to protect myself because I was afraid of being rejected, I think. And now I think when I do wear makeup and when I am like, it's playful and it's fun and I get to like, it's about like appreciating myself and feeling good. It's like, it's about me. It's not about either performing for or rebelling against being seen in some way, which I'm really happy about, obviously. Both those things are exhausting.
Yeah. Do you have any other final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I think... No.
Is that your theme this today?
Final thoughts is that doing things differently at different times is not... inconsistency, but rather variability.
Yes. Dude. The fuck?
Hey, everyone. So this is a segment called Bad Bath Bombs. So basically, what flavor or variety of bath bomb would you absolutely not want to get into a bath of? That's the premise of the game. So we've come up with a list each of our worst bath bomb ideas. Let's get it started. Maggie, what have you got?
Sour cream.
Oh! It's like warm in the tub.
And like watery.
Ew! Okay. Like the like when you first open sour cream before you mix it, it would just be like...
That's what it would look like, yeah.
Bolognese.
Oh.
Just ow. Meat crumbles.
Ew! Ew! No.
Like
no.
The soap.
That would like get into your pores. Flax seeds.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever touched flax seeds in water?
No.
They get, like, almost gelatinous.
Right.
Yeah.
They use them for egg substitute.
Yeah, it's
You gotta wait, like, 5 minutes, but...
It's pretty gross.
Yeah. Gravel.
Ah!
Just, like, stepping on it in the tub.
I'm also, like, not trying to get that in any of my holes. Like, not a single one. Ants.
Oh, yeah. That's a good surprise.
Yeah.
How many are living, how many are dead? We don't know.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't really thought about
that. They'll be just, like, encased.
Okay.
Stranger's pubic hair.
Stop. Nope.
You never know what color the hair is going to be. It's a surprise.
I hate this. Sand.
Oh!
I'm just listing things I don't want to touch.
Goes well with mine. Glass.
Ow!
I'm just like, oh, let me just drop this. And it's just, like, shards.
You're like, oh, time to get in.
And just, like, imagine everyone, like, filming it. You know how people do that?
Like, this one, like, actually would, it would make a good Instagram, but iodine?
Oh, it would make a really good Instagram.
Would burn, though.
Yeah. And, but then you could, use that before you have surgery. Yeah. Like, they should start implementing that in hospitals.
Just take a quick iodine bath.
We'll just hop you in. Shredded IRS documents.
Ah. That would be kind of satisfying, though.
Yeah. Just like, I was looking at your shredder.
Have you ever, okay, did you ever make paper mache as a little kid?
Oh, yes.
It feels to me like putting that many IRS documents in the bathtub would almost make like a goopy.
You could do like a casting of your body.
Perfect.
Which we're into because this is a body positive podcast and I feel like people always do like body casting.
Yeah.
To like love themselves.
Well, I'm going to do mine with my old tax documents.
Yeah, so suck it.
And my final bath bomb is fingernail clippings.
Oh, God. I hate, okay.
Yeah, I don't like stepping on it, like a stray fingernail clipping that has made it, like, into the bedroom floor.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me want to die. Do you have one more?
No, that's it for me.
There we go. That's it for me, man.
That's all I got, dog. My guy. Okay, thanks for listening to another episode. Tune in next week. We're going to talk about dressing for our bodies in summer specifically. We actually got a message requesting that we do this one after we had mentioned possibly doing it, and we're here for it. So yes. We listen to your feedback. If there's something you want, we're here to give it to you.
Only sometimes, though.
It's true. We're still going to do what we want. but we're doing this. So send in your questions, comments, and frustrations about trying to look cute when it's hot as hell. You're going to like the way you look. We guarantee it.
You're cut off.